We started this guest speaker series. We wanted to do two things. We wanted to have quality people, quality ministry. And then we wanted to have people, men and women, who were beliefs were in alignment with ours. Foundations of the faith were the same. No compromise. We feel like we've done that. And tonight we continue to do that with Pastor Scott Boatner. I want to welcome him and his lovely wife, Carrie, and a good contingent from God's house. Scott is a longtime resident of Neshoba County. He comes highly recommended tonight. So,
yeah, amen.
Brother Scott, we're going to turn it over to you.
Come on, brother.
Let's make welcome, Brother Scott.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. Take your Bible and turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter number 11, if you would, please. John's Gospel, chapter number 11. And see what the Lord has for us tonight. I'm not really much on religion, but I'm a whole lot about Jesus. Okay. Because you can go to church all your life and then go to hell. Whether you go to church or don't go to church, whether you come here or don't go here, or who you know or who you... The only thing that will... The deciding factor between you and going to heaven and hell, His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Doesn't matter if you're sober or drunk, His name is still Jesus.
Amen.
Sobriety is about a better quality of life. It's not about where you spend eternity. You understand what I'm saying? Sobriety is about a better quality of life. Let me add something in there. Smart choices are cheaper than dumb choices. So you've been preaching 37 years. You don't look but about 40. Y'all can say amen right there. Actually, today, in 1961, today was a Friday. And I was born about 7 o'clock on Friday morning in 1961. So this morning at 7 o'clock, I was 58 years old. Thank you. Amen. That's why. Okay, we rolling now. We rolling now. All right. I want to preach to you, by the way, tonight on personal identity. Rob, you are who you are, buddy. The worst mistake you'll ever make is trying to be like me.
Amen.
God spoke to me one day. He said, now, you don't really need to make disciples like you unless you really like yourself a lot. I don't like myself that much. You understand what I'm saying? And so, but I do like myself pretty good. And redneck will come out in me every once in a while. I mean, I won't defend myself, but if I go traveling somewhere, my wife's with me, I'll take a lot of artillery with me. And so if somebody, you mess with her, then redneck's going to come out every place. I ain't that saved yet, okay? Well, I'm saved enough to go to heaven, all right? I got that way January 31st, 1982. But, you know, along this journey, we're still real. This journey, how many knows life's still real? I don't care how saved you are. I don't care if all your family was saved. I don't care if mom and them was saved. I don't care who all was saved. Life, how many knows, is still real. Life is not fair. If somebody told you that, they'll need to read it to you out of here, and you won't find it in here. Matter of fact, the night before Jesus died, on a Tuesday night, Jesus died on Wednesday afternoon at about 3 o'clock to match the exact time of the Passover. I know you've been taught it was Friday. I don't have time to explain all that to you, but it was a Friday. You can't get 3 days, 3 nights from Friday to Saturday night. It just will not happen unless you use Common Core math. I'm not fond of Common Core math. I like old-timey add, subtract, you know, 3 days, 3 nights. And so Tuesday night before Jesus died, just a few hours before he died, John's Gospel chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, and it's written in red, so the old man said, if it's written in red, baby, you better get a hold to it. You understand what I'm saying? And so John's Gospel chapter number 13 all the way through 19 happened the night before Jesus died on the cross at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. Jesus said in John 16, 33, in this world, the one I'm standing on, which is the same one Brother Ken was standing on, ye shall have tribulation. He was talking to his, at this point in time, 11 disciples. Chapter 13, he dismissed Judas. Judas was a thief. He was a liar. He was a traitor. And he betrayed Jesus. Jesus handpicked 12 people to follow him and to hand the message of truth to. Let me tell you a little bit about them people. They must have been from the South because they definitely was rednecks. You understand what I'm saying? Because they like to fish. So I don't like to fish, but then you're not a redneck, okay? Just dismiss it off, all right? And so they like to fish, and Jesus chose them, and they were fishermen. He actually chose Judas. He said, I chose Judas, and he's the devil. I mean, you got to have some folks around to keep your prayer life up. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all got them? Y'all know them? That's why some of y'all used to be alcoholics, because you had to be drunk to hang around your friends, all right? So change your friends. Yeah, some of y'all didn't get that yet. Back when, and say, so preacher, you've been preaching since 1982. How can you know about alcoholism? We ain't got time for that, baby. I just started sleeping 4 hours a night last week. So when my daddy started to preach, I was 15, 1976, November the 28th, 1976. We was in Huddick, Arkansas, in an ice storm. He surrendered to preach, and so I decided I didn't want anything to do with it. So he went one way, I went the other way. And I went that way 200 miles an hour. I'm 58, I was 15 then, I got saved when I was 20. And due to the unfortunate consumption of alcohol and a lot of other stuff we won't even go into, I still have today a fatty liver. That was 38. Y'all get that? Yeah. I'd have never saw 25. So trust me, I'm not some person that's read something in a book about addiction or whatever you obsess with. I know about it. I know about it. All my family on both sides, there are people here that can stand up and testify. My cousins on my daddy's side and my cousins on my mama's side. We did it and we did it hard. We wasn't social drinkers. If they made alcohol that day, we needed to consume all of it by midnight so they make some more tomorrow. If the doctor told us 8 ounces of wine would help your heart, we'd drink the whole case. You understand what I'm saying? If one would do good, hey, 12 would do better. So I feel you. I understand you. But you need to have some identity. Right. You don't need to read about it in some book and well, here's who I am and whatever. Let me read you about a person that Jesus chose. And he's Thomas. John 11:7. Lazarus is dead. Let's read about this. Then after he saith unto the disciples, I'm in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 7. Then after he saith unto the disciples, let us go unto Judea again. Name of city, Judea. His disciples say unto him, this is the 12. All right? Are you still with me? Master, now look, now Jesus, don't you remember the Jews, the last time we went over there, they stoned us. They throwed rocks at us. And why are we going over there again? So, Jesus said, we're going to go. I'm going to skip some verses down to verse 16. Jesus said, we're going to go. Lazarus, he's asleep. We're going to wake him up. Thomas says, well, if he's asleep, let's don't go. Let the man sleep. Man's sleeping, let him sleep. Some people wake up. They don't like for you to wake him up. And Jesus finally had to break it on down to him. The man's dead. Okay, he's dead. Let's go over here and see him. So they go over there. First of all, let me tell you this about Lazarus. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. It says that Lazarus was the friend of Jesus. Even though you're a friend of Jesus, you can still get in trouble. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You see, that's actually why we need Jesus. If we didn't ever get in trouble, we wouldn't need Jesus. Can I get an amen? Are you with me now? All right. How many need Jesus in here? I do. I raise both hands. All right. Then said Thomas. So Thomas is going to speak it out. Which is called Didymus unto his fellow disciples. Let us also, here's his faith. Now, please catch this with me. Let us also go. I'm going to go with you. I guess I'm not going to stay here by myself. This is what he said, that we may go and die with him. Because when we get over there, it's going to kill us. So he had no faith. Had zero faith. Jesus chose him, Gary. He had absolute faith. Ronnie, he had a negative faith. Matter of fact, he lived in constant fear. And so he said, now when we get over there, they're going to kill us. But I'm going to stay here by myself. I mean, praise God, I might as well just go die with the rest of you. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of like one of those parties. Hey, where y'all going over here? Well, I don't know. Well, I'm going. Y'all have done that. Say amen right there. Okay, all right. You don't know what's going to happen to you when you get there. But it's done too late. You done had a 24-pack and you don't care by then. Can I get an amen? So Thomas hadn't had no 28-pack. or 42 pack or any kind of pack. He just said, you know, I'm going to go with y'all and die with y'all. He had zero faith. But guess what? A few chapters later, Jesus explained to him, John 15:16, the night before Jesus died, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Even Thomas, that had zero faith. Zero faith. But you know Thomas? Thomas had highs and lows. People with great faith have highs and lows. So just because you're having a low today, don't acclaim that for your personal identity, because tomorrow you may say something that blows everybody out of the water.
Amen.
Why? Because God's cool like that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He chose Thomas because Thomas one day, yes, he's going to say with no faith, but one day he's going to say, boys, this is the Christ. You know what Christ means? It's not Jesus' last name. It's Christos. In the Greek, it means anointed one. So don't get in your head, it's over and God can't use me. If God's got something for you to do, bless God, you might as well get ready to do it because you ain't leaving here till you get it done. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God does not put that in the equation. His equation works off of purpose and intent. Do you know why church buildings are called church buildings? Because they're all made out of bricks or whatever, sheetrock, same sheetrock you put in the house. It's put in a church. Why is it called a church building? It's called a church building because of purpose and intent. You call your house a house. Why? Because that's where you go home. I'm going home. Do you go to the neighbor's house? No, you go to your house. It's your house, all right? You go to the house of God. You call it a church because of purpose and intent. Well, God is a God. He doesn't do random. You're not random. You wasn't just thrown together random. You're not here tonight. You're not here tonight, Brother Barry, by accident. There is no coincidences. In God's kingdom, He does not function off of random. He does deliberate. He does intentional. And He does purpose. And you're part of that, or you would not be here, and I would not be here, preaching to you about Jesus and His intentions for you. There are a few people here that know me way back in the day. They're still shocked that I'm up here preaching, all right? I'm a little shocked too, okay? I just really am. You need your personal identity. You need to know who you are. Now, some of you, y'all are on a journey. I'm on a journey of faith. Now, Jesus saved me. Bam. January 31st, 1982, I got saved. Born again. Just like that. I was sitting on the third row. Preacher was preaching. Holy Spirit convicted me. Jesus, God spoke to me. Holy Spirit did. Said, I want you to get saved. I got something I want you to do. I didn't realize at the time I got something I want you to do was preaching. I was more back focused on trying to talk God into, look, God, I done got my hair cut. I read my Bible every day. I threw my Rolling Stones albums away. So I'm good. I mean, we good. God said, getting saved ain't got nothing to do with your haircut, ain't got nothing to do with reading the Bible, ain't got nothing to do with Mick and Keith, okay? We'll worry about them later, all right? So that's, you're going to hell when you die. So I said, no, I'm good. God said, no, you're not good. And you're going to hell. And if you don't want to go to hell, I strongly advise you to do exactly what I'm telling you today. You need to get saved today. And so somewhere between the third pew and the altar, Jesus moved in. Took over my life. I do not remember what I prayed. I don't remember what I prayed. Now, they come and prayed with me and prayed over me and all that kind of stuff, but I was done saved by then, so I would just listen respectfully to them, and I was just on my knees. I have no idea what I prayed. But I yielded. You understand what I'm saying? So, well, Brother Scott, you got to be able to remember what you say when you pray. Well, now, that's wonderful. What if a person can't talk? So, Brother Scott, you said you got saved between the pew and the altar. You were standing up. You got to get on your knees to get saved. What if a person has old legs? You see, we encounter problems when we think about the stupidity of religion.
That's right. That is exactly right.
You need your personal identity. You need to be who you are. Now, you're on a journey of faith. Don't get stuck where you're at. Get in the Word of God. You get in the Word of God, it'll get in you. It'll renew your mind.
Amen.
Okay? I taught her last Sunday night how to renew her mind. It clicked. She got it. She still got it. Still got it. Because you got to get in here and renew your mind. Only way you're going to do that is get this and put it before your eye gate. This is your eye gate. You want to change your life? Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That means be changed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Y'all have classes on that here. You got to change the way you think if you want to change the way you behave. That's why when you change the way you behave and you don't change the way you think, it will gnaw at you till you go back. The dog will return to his vomit. I know it's kind of crude, but it's in the Bible. Solomon said it. Peter requoted him in the New Testament. If you do not change the way you think up here and what you believe in here, you will go back to some dark, bad place that you've been before that you'd never wanted to go. Because see, when we have obsessions or addictions, we have this love-hate relationship with them. Are you with me? You hate them, but you love them. And you're never going to do it again, but you do it, and you get up, and you're sick, and you hate yourself then. And you begin to strip your own personal identity. Are y'all following my train of thought? Okay? Personal identity. Thomas had some doubt issues. He didn't want to go back over to Judea and get rocks thrown at him. I don't know if you ever had rocks thrown at you before, but it's painful. I don't know if you've ever been to a place where they kill you for preaching the gospel. I have. That can be very painful, especially when they don't have guns. They beat you to death with sticks, all right, in the jungles of India, all right? And so you have to have some faith in here to believe him and trust him, because he's the one that's going to make things happen for you. Okay? God's got you here for a purpose. He has you here for a reason. He is not God is not confused. God is not messed up. God loves you. And God wants you to win the war. Romans 8:37 says we're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Is that not what the Bible says?
Yes.
A question for you. If you're already a conqueror, and I've preached on this lately, talked about it actually this morning at church. If you're already a conqueror, how can you be more than a conqueror? How can you be more? And so what I used was the Super Bowl. I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I know that the Patriots won and Tom Brady got another ring. How many rings? Anybody know how many rings Tom Brady's got? I don't watch NFL, but how many?
Six.
Six. He's got six rings. He won six Super Bowls, but he ain't conquered the world. All he did was won a football game. We're more than that. We're more than that. God wants us to change the world, not just win six Super Bowls. The NFL is a small group of people compared to the 8 billion that's on this planet. We're more than conquerors. God wants you to be more. He wants you to do more. He has something for you to do. There's a war. David was anointed king over Israel when he was 16, 17 years old by prophet Samuel. David's daddy, Jesse, sent him to the battlefield to check on his brothers and take him some cheese and bread. He gets there, and he asks what's going on, and Goliath, he is there, and he comes out. You got the Philistines over here, and you got the Israelites over here, and nobody's fighting. They're all just sitting there around the campfire. Goliath comes out every day and gives them all a good cussing. I mean, he cusses them till the fly won't light on them. I mean, some people can cuss, and then some people try to cuss. He could cuss. You understand what I'm saying? And plus, he was 9 foot tall. A man that's 9 foot tall, he makes cussing sound real bad. You understand what I'm saying? And so he come out every day, and he talked about God. He cussed her mama. He cussed everybody, but they didn't care. And David gets there, and he's 16, 17. He asks, what's the situation with this? They said, well, he comes out every day, but ain't nothing we can do about it. He said, well, there's something I can do about it. So then his very own turned on him. That's when it gets fun. His very own turned on him. They laughed at him. And so then he went, and King Saul tried to put all his armor on him. He said, this don't fit. I mean, you know what I mean? I can't work with this. That's not my tools. I got to have my own tool bag. You know what I'm saying? It was not his identity. That was Saul's identity, and it did him no good. Did him no good. Nothing. That armor, that sword, that stuff he had, did him no good. He couldn't win a war with it. Why? He was afraid. David was not. David only got some rocks for a slingshot. You ever seen those slingshots on old movies? Randolph Scott. Yeah, anybody watch Westerns in here? All right, Randolph Scott, there's a movie called Riding Shotgun. This boy has one of them. It's two pieces of leather, a little thing, right? You put a rock in it, and you swing it. I just saw it four times last week. You hit him on his right cheek and cut him wide open. Did y'all see that last week? You ought to start watching the Weatherstone Channel. It'll be a blessing to you, okay? So David said, I got it. So he picks him up 5 stones. Goliath's got 4 brothers. He knew the Philistines well. Obviously, his genius family and people over here didn't know anything. And so he goes, swings his rock. He hits Goliath here. Goliath goes down. Goliath's not a problem. David is a killer. He was never afraid of anything in his life. You know what happened then? David went then, and he stood up on Goliath. He took Goliath's own sword, Brandon, and cut his head off. Are you with me? Stay with me. I'm fixing to tell you something that's going to change your life if you'll let God do it. He cut his own head off with Goliath's own sword. They all went to town and had a party. The ladies were dancing in the street. Saul has killed thousands. David has killed 10,000s, which caused jealousy in Saul. He called for David to come play. David could worship the Lord. He could worship with you one moment and kill you the next. Never bat an eye. David was a warrior. His blood didn't bother him. Your blood didn't bother him. And he was a warrior to the extent that he did not build the Solomon's temple. But he had it all sawed up and in stacks. And to be honest with you, if you read it carefully, Solomon just kind of had to snap it together like a model car. You know, he had it fixed for him, had it all bought, had it all taken care of. And it was ready for him. So one generation can do something for the next generation. While they were up there at the party, there was this preacher named Zadok the priest. So Zadok, he hung around, he picked up a few things. And he went back to the house of God. Saul called David up to play him some music. And he got mad. That spirit of jealousy came over him because David had the power of God and Saul didn't. And so Saul threw a spear at him, tried to kill him. And so David had to run. He was not able to get food or weapons. He had to run to save his life. The only reason he ran and didn't kill Saul is because Saul was the king, or he'd have just killed him. So David didn't run from nobody. Well, he ran from Absalom. Are you sure about that? He left the palace to keep from killing his own son. He didn't run because he was scared. Always remember that, because you'll hear that he ran from his own son. David never ran from anything. Nothing. Okay? And so David left the palace that night from Saul. I jumped way ahead several years to Absalom. So he had to run with no food, no weapon to keep him killing his own king. Some people in your life, no matter what they've done to you, let it go. Let me say it one more time. Some people in your life, no matter what they've done to you, let it go. If you don't, it'll kill you. No matter what I'm talking about, no matter, some people have had some atrocity. I mean, some things done to them that they can't get out of their head. They have to renew their mind year after year after year. Let it go or it will kill you, but it won't them. It may one day, but just you've got to let that go. So David runs and he stops by the church, by Zadok the priest. And he goes in, he says, "Preacher, I know you don't. But I had to leave in a hurry," and he didn't tell the preacher the whole story, but Zadok's a priest. I'm sure he knew what was going on spiritually. He said, "I know you don't have no food or weapons, but I need anything you got, because I just had to leave my clothes on my back." And so he gave him showbread. You had the tabernacle that they worshipped in, the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. You had a brazen altar, and you come on in, there was a water basin, there was a table of showbread, a candle, Abra, thank you, with candles on it, which was the light of Jesus Christ. You had the table of showbread right here, which was Jesus Christ as the bread of life. You go on into the golden altar where they took blood and fire from the brazen altar, and they took it and put it on that altar. Smoke came up, and the priest would get a shovel full of that stuff and that smoke. He'd go in behind that veil, and the mercy seat was in there, and this box called the Ark of the Covenant that had three things in it that are significant. And it was gold, and it sat there, and the priest went in there, and if God was happy with their confessions and, you know, getting rid of their sins one more time, rolling it over, the priest came back out, and everybody shouted and hollered, all right? That's kind of the way it worked then, all right? Now, praise God, Jesus, he went in there when he died on the cross. The veil was rent from top to bottom, all right? And it's not something I would argue over because we're both right, all right? Most preachers preach that Jesus did that so that we could get in there to where God was at. I was so sorry and far from God, it wasn't me getting there where God is at. He tore that down so he could get out here where I was at. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Now, because I wasn't looking for him, trust me. A dear friend of mine wrote a song years ago, Squire Parsons called, "He Came to Me," because I could not get to where he was at. All right? But he came right down to where I was at. But anyway, back to David at the church, the house of God. So you'll find some things at a real house of God that are very unique to your purpose. And what you need is not behind you. What you need is in front of you.
Amen.
David needed something. He needed a weapon. You know what Zadok the priest picked up off of the battlefield that day? Does anybody here, don't I exclude my God's house people, anybody here know what the preacher got the day David, when he was 16 and killed Goliath? Anybody know what the preacher got? The rest of them went uptown, had a big party. Anybody here know what the preacher got off the battlefield and took it to the church?
Goliath's sword.
Oh, yeah. And so Zadok said, "Well, I happen to have Goliath's sword, the one you killed him with." He said, "I got it wrapped in a cloth." He said, "Reckon it'll do?" He said, "It'll do." He said, "Because I've used this weapon before. I know its power." What you need is in front of you. Quit looking back. Just quit. That you may need to apologize about something. Do it. Get it done. Move on. And look forward. Because what God's got for you is yonder way. You can't find it over here. God's got something for you to do. What you need's in front of you. You may not even know it's there. He had no idea. Carrie, he had no idea where that sword is at. Because he was a teenage boy, Brother Barry. He didn't know the value. He didn't know what he was going to need. He didn't know his king was going to try to kill him for doing right. He didn't know that up here was going to come crashing down on him because he tried to help. Anybody ever been hurt for trying to do the right thing? There's some folks in here that hear me. I see it in your eyes. But that preacher did. He said, "You know, this ain't supposed to be at the house of God, but I'm going to take it anyway. It might just come in handy." So God had the preacher take a weapon with blood on it. He wrapped it in a cloth, and he tucked it up, and he put it up under the table. He said, "That boy may need that one day." There's some folks watching out for you and praying for you that you don't even know exist, probably.
Amen.
Before I met Jesus. My daddy was 36 years old when he started to preach. I was 15. It was November the 28th, 1976. And I went the other way as fast as I could go. And I run hard and I run fast. I didn't just have a couple of beers at night and go home and go to bed at 9 o'clock. I slept about 2 hours a day for 5 years. I worked. Captain Ron here worked on a riverboat 50 years. He can tell you how hard I worked. There's some people who tell you. I got up, I rolled out every morning and worked. See, when you got all these things you got to purchase, you got to have money to purchase them. Or you got to sell some of those type products to purchase those type products. Am I getting there yet? Am I down there with you yet? Like I told you, I know where you're at or where you've been, some of you. And God help, don't go there again. I done tried it. It will not work. We've, a bunch of us done tried. Can I get an amen, Captain Ron? It will not work. I have buried most of my friends. My running buddies. Most of them are dead. That's how I know. Because I was leading the pack. I'd have never saw 25. But Jesus. And during that time, my mom and dad didn't know what to do with me. I mean, I just, bam, just changed overnight, just bam. But during that time, my daddy drove a bus for us, for this ministry team, before he surrendered to preach, actually. No, after he surrendered to preach, I'm sorry. And he was preaching, and they did ministries. It was like a three-day, Kim, I remember them, the Ridgeways. You remember the Ridgeways years ago? My daddy drove a bus for them. And so my mom and dad didn't know what to do for me, but pray for me. Because I was messed up. My mom and dad didn't know what to do with me, Brother Barry. So they prayed. God showed me this just a few years ago right after my mama died. My mama died on her 66th birthday at 4:30 in the morning on October the 19th, baby. October the 19th, 2007. It's her 66th birthday. And so I've come in a many a night, and my mom and daddy prayed. I could hear them praying. And I'd be so messed up. But I could hear them praying. And I know God gave them a plan. There was a couple of places that make me go as long as I lived in her house. They was that thing, if you're going to live here and sit under my table and all that stuff right here, if you get put in jail, don't waste your phone call on me, okay? They was, and they wasn't just talking. Trust me on that one, all right? There was this one place that made me go. They said, we're going to so-and-so tonight to minister. You're going with us. And I said, I don't want to go. They said, we didn't ask you what you wanted to do. We just said, this is what we're going to do. And if you eat and sleep here at our house, this is what you're going to do. Or you can move out and get you a place. But see, the problem with that is you got to pay rent. And I didn't cook near as good as my mama. Okay, I didn't sleep much, but I did eat a lot. Some of the things I did caused you to eat like whole boxes of cereal at one time. You understand what I'm saying? But they made me go to this one church. This preacher's dead and gone now. He died sitting in an emergency room with kidney failure. He sat in a wheelchair 4 hours and died. And that's no reflection on none of the medical people that I know and are very dear friends with. I don't even know where he was at. But he died sitting in a wheelchair in the emergency room. Kidney failure. His face has never been on a magazine, never been on Christian television, never wrote any books. But Brother Barry, he had something on him I couldn't be around. Just could not. And they knew that, and they'd make me go. Every time they went to that church, Brother Kim, they'd make me go. Brother Arzon Burns. And I said, oh, God, I got to go down here. God, I'd be praying, okay? Smoking a joint and praying, okay? God, don't make me go down here. There's some things that drugs can't overcome. God's one of them, just FYI, all right? And I'd go in there and sit down. Dear God, here you come. He wasn't pushy. He just sat down by me and said, son, how you doing? Scott couldn't say a word. I just sat there and just cry like a baby. It would get so bad, Brother Barry. I'd go outside, take a break. I remember kneeling down by a tire on a car and just holding on to the tire and just shaking because the power of God was trying to shake me loose. Because I was in a dark place. But you know what God does with darkness? Genesis 1. He said, let there be light. But if you dark on the inside, Nikki, you push back against that light. Because that light shows up too much stuff there, Brother Bowler. He shows up too much stuff. Oh, no, it really ain't that bad, God. Oh, yes, he just cuts on another bright light. And sometimes we don't like to see that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God wants to talk to you. God's been talking to you a while. God's been talking. He's talking to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God loves you. God loves you. And God does not base His love on what you have done or going to do, or how good or how bad you are. He bases His love on the fact that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. That's what His love's about.